Zegt alles perk vav mishne gimel till perk vav mishne vav. Halomin ne chaveru perk echod. One who learns from his friend one chapter. His friend teaches him one chapter of Torah, a halacha achas. Or even just one law, a pasuk echod. Or even just one verse, one pasuk, a dibur echod. Or even one word, maybe one phrase of Torah, which he learns from, a afilo eis achas. Even if one's friend teaches him just one letter of Torah, the Gemara sometimes learns halachas even from one extra word in the pasuk, one letter in the pasuk. So if a teacher teaches you even one letter of Torah, tzorich linhoig bo kavod, you need to treat him with respect. You need to honor somebody who teaches you anything. If you have learned any Torah from anybody, you now need to honor him. And the Gemara proves this. Shekein motzinu b'dov melech Yisrael. Because we find, with regards to David HaMelech, shelelomad me'achisofel ele shenei dvarim bilvad. He only learned from Achisofel two things. Achisofel was David HaMelech's advisor. And when David HaMelech's son, Avshalom, rebelled against David, Achisofel joined Avshalom and went against David. However, as evil and wicked as Achisofel became, he did teach David two things. The Gemara in Maseches Kala actually says what those two things were. One was that he shouldn't learn by himself, and the other was that when he goes to a shul, he should enter the shul with a sense of awe and humility. But be it as it may, he only taught David two things. And these things aren't even really such big halachas. It's more good things to do. But even then, a karai rabbi, David called him his teacher, alufai, his personal teacher, yudai, and his guide, shenema, as the pasuk says, v'ata enish ke'erki. David says to Achisofel, you are a man of my stature. Alufi, you're my personal teacher, yudai, you're my guide. So the Mishnah deduces from here, v'halei dvarim kavachimer. Surely, all the more so, umad David melech Yisrael. If David, sheloi lomad me Achisofel, ela shnei dvarim bilvad, who only learnt two things from Achisofel, yet karoi, rabbi, alufo, yudai, he called him his teacher, his personal teacher, his guide. So, halone chaveri, perekechod, if somebody learns from his friend, one chapter of Torah, a halach achas, or one law, a poskechod, or one posuk, a dibur echod, or one word, afilo eis achas, even one letter of Torah, al achas kamav achamash et zorach linhoi by kovod. All the more so we need to honor that person, because David was a king, and he honored him by calling him these three things, three titles. So if us commoners learn something from somebody, all the more so we need to treat him with a bit of respect. And the Mishnah continues, v'ein kovod ala Torah, honor is only due to a person who has Torah. The only thing worth honoring in this world is Torah. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Kovod chachomim yincholu. Chachomim, wise people, will inherit honor. Now, you could interpret that pasuk to be referring to any wise people. And that's why the Mishnah brings the next pasuk, Osamimim yincholu toiv. Perfect people will inherit good. Ve'ein toiv ala Torah. Good, what's good? So good means Torah, Shenema, as the pasuk says. When describing Torah, Torah is described as toiv. Ki lekach toiv nosat lochem. I have given you a good thing, a good product, Torosi. My Torah, al tazoivu, don't abandon it. So we see from that pasuk that Torah is called toiv, which means that when the previous pasuk quoted, when that pasuk says that these wise people, these perfect people will get good, and that's why they'll be honored, what's good, it also refers to the Torah, and so we see from there that only Torah is worth honoring. Mishnah Dalet, kach hidako shel Torah. The following is the ideal path for Torah. In order to properly make Torah part of you, the best way to become a Talmud Chacham and to learn and to become closer to Hashem is pas b'melach toichel. You should eat bread with salt, umayim b'masura tishte, and you should drink a small measure of water, v'al oretz tishan, and sleep on the ground, v'chai tzar tichye, and live a painful life. Live this difficult life, which the Mishnah has just described, uvat Torah to Omel, and if despite that you still toil in the Torah, you still continue learning, that is the most ideal way to learn. You know, we're used to thinking that the wealthier you are, the easier your life is, the easier it will be to learn, the more peace of mind you can have, and the closer you'll get to Hashem. But this Mishnah is telling us, you know what, that's not true. Sometimes you need to disconnect yourself a bit from this world's pleasures. Now, there are very, very few people, if any, who are alive today who live like this. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. In most scenarios, one shouldn't live like this. And you can be a huge Talmud Chacham without going through this. However, what the Mishnah is expressing is that one needs to be prepared to go through this. One's commitment to Torah has to be so strong that if it came down to it, if he was given the choice between a wealthy life, devoid of Torah, versus being very poor, sleeping on the ground, but with Torah, he would choose that second option. You have to be prepared to do this. And in fact, this fits well with the rest of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah tells us, v'imato oisakein, if you do this, and you live like that, then ashrecho v'toivloch, praised be you, happy be you, and it will be good for you. Now that seems to be repeating itself. So the Mishnah explains, Ashrecha, the word Ashrecha, which means you'll be happy, you'll be praiseworthy, Ba'olam Hazeh. That's referring to this world. And the Tov Lachem, and the Mishnah says it will be good for you, La'olam Haba. That's referring to the next world, the reward you'll get over there. And we've had this idea many times throughout the Masechta. The deeper you become connected to Torah, the more real your connection to Torah becomes, the greater this world is. It's not just about next world. Even this world becomes the most geschmack existence because of the Torah. Now Rabbi Zev Lev gives an unbelievable moshel to explain this Mishnah. He tells the story of a man who was walking through the forest one day, quite near to the king's palace, and the king is actually riding on his horse in the forest, and the man can see the king from a distance. And then suddenly he hears very loud galloping of horses, and four big horses come galloping towards the king's horse, and four men jump off the horses, pull down the king's horse, and they've captured the king. They've kidnapped the king, and the king has a lot of valuables on him, and these bandits are planning on killing him, and they're going to take all his money. And they haven't noticed this other person in the forest, and he sees what's going on. And to cut a long story short, the bandits have their gun pointing towards the king, and they're about to pull the trigger, when another gunshot is heard, and a second one, and a third one, and a fourth one, and this person who was in the forest had shot all four bandits and saved the king's life. Now the king was literally seconds away from death. What a scary experience, and he's so grateful to this man. And he turns around to him and he asks him, "What can I do for you? You saved my life. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you." And this simple man, he was content with his life, and he turned around to the king, and he said, "King, you do not need to do anything for me. I'm very happy with my situation. I don't need anything from you. However, I'd like you to answer one question. When that gun was pointing at your head, and you literally had no hope of living, you were seconds away from death, how did that moment feel?" Okay, interesting question, but that was his wish. But suddenly the king has a change of heart, and he becomes furious. He starts shouting at the man, "How dare you, I'm the king. You're asking how the king is feeling? Are you making fun of the situation I was just in? How dare you?" And he gets more angry and more angry. And by this time, the king's bodyguards have come and they've caught up with him. And the king orders the bodyguards to handcuff this man. The king chucks him into prison, and he informs him that he is putting him to death the next morning. And so it is the next morning. The man is led out of prison into the town square. Hundreds of people are watching, and they lead him into the middle. And the executioner, dressed in black, comes out, holding a gun. And the countdown begins. 10, 9, 8, 7. And this man is looking down. He glances towards his family. His wife and two young children are there in the crowd. Tears rolling down their eyes, and the countdown continues. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. And suddenly the king steps forward and he says, "Stop, don't shoot." And the whole crowd is so confused. No one's more confused than this man himself. And the king steps towards the man and mutters to him, almost in a whisper, "That's how it felt. That's how it felt to be a second away from death. There's no way in the world you can ever understand the feeling it is to be a moment away from your death unless you experience it, unless you go through it." Let's have a look back at our Mishnah. It said the best way to live, in order to acquire Torah properly, you should live a difficult life, one of poverty. And then it said, the im ato isakein. And if you do this, then you'll have a great world here and a great world there. What's the Mishnah trying to say? The Mishnah is addressing the problem we all have with this Mishnah. How on earth can it be that if I eat bread and water, if I survive just about by living on the ground, I don't have a bed, I have such a difficult life, I may learn Torah, but how on earth will I have a good Olam Hazeh? How will I enjoy this world? That's why the Mishnah has to tell you, you'll only understand imata oisekein. If you really apply yourself and put yourself into Torah, only if you go ahead and learn, only then will you understand it. And this applies to all the amazing benefits, amazing things which the Mishnayos we've been speaking about, and we'll continue to speak about, say about Torah. They say Torah is unbelievable, it turns you into this, it turns you into that, it's more precious than gold. But most of us can't really relate to that. Most of us don't really find Torah like that. What this Mishnah is telling us is that the reason why you don't feel it is because you haven't yet applied yourself properly to Torah. And it's not saying that you have to live a hard life. We explain the Mishnah. It means you have to be prepared. You have to be committed to Torah. But it is tested and proven and guaranteed that if you don't like learning, you don't enjoy the learning, if you properly apply yourself and you push yourself even when it's hard, you push and you push, it will become the most sweetest thing for you ever. You will enjoy Torah, but that will only happen once you have applied yourself. Mishnah Hey, Al Tvakish Gdulah La'atzmoch. Don't seek out greatness and power for yourself, V'al Tachmod Kovod, and do not desire to have honor from your Torah. Learn Torah for the right reason. Secondly, Yosem Lemudoch Asei. Do more than you learn. Make sure your conduct is consistent with your learning. Make sure that you grow as a person as well in how you act, not in just your learning. And thirdly, don't desire the table and the wealth of kings. People sometimes like to think, oh, imagine if I was part of the royal family. Imagine if I was the king. I'd have so much wealth. Imagine if I was the richest guy in the world. How amazing would that be? Says the Mishnah, you've got to realize, your table, your portion in this world, and in the next world, is much, 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 much greater than their portion. They've got the physical wealth, but you have the spiritual wealth, which is incomparably greater. The Kisrach Godol Mekisram. And your crown of Torah, is greater than the king's crown. That's something which the next Mishnah will elaborate on. The owner of your work, meaning your employer, i.e. Hashem, is trustworthy, and he will pay you the reward of your work. So concentrate and focus on Torah in this world, and Hashem in Olam Haba will reward you immensely. Mishnah Vov, the following Mishnah is huge. Not just in the length of the Mishnah, but in the Mishnah's implications. If there's any Mishnah which tells you how to become great in Torah, it's this Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to list 48 different ways which one needs in order to become a full Talmud Chacham. Many people throughout the Sfiras HaOmer, which have 49 days, many people concentrate on one of these each day. And the Mishnah tells us firstly, G'dayla Torah Yosma HaKohono Min HaMalchus. Torah is greater than Kohona, than being a Kohen and serving in the Beis HaMikdash. When HaMalchus is even greater than being a king. Being top of the Jewish people, the Melech, that is not as great as having Torah. Sheh HaMalchus Niknes B'Shleish HaMalos. Because kingship is acquired via 30 qualities. There are 30 things which distinguish a king above other people. And the Mishnah doesn't list them because that's not the focus of our Mishnah. V'HaKohono B'Esim V'Arba. There are 24 ways which distinguish a Kohen from the rest of the people, and that refers to the 24 gifts which Kohanim can potentially receive, including the Karbonos, Trumos, Challah, firstborn animals, and more. However, the HaTorah, when it comes to Torah, Niknes B'Arboim Mishmona Dvarim. Torah is acquired via the following 48 qualities. In order to acquire Torah, you need the following. And of course, work on one at a time. Number one, B'Talmud, actually learning, of course. B'Shmias HaOizen, with the listening of the ear. Be more of a listener than a talker. Learn from those greater than you. B'Arichas HaFasayim. However, at the same time, you need to express that with lips. Speak out your learning. It's one of the best ways to become clear about what you are learning. Number four, B'Vinas HaLev. Understanding of the heart. B'Sichlas HaLev. Use the sense of your heart. Use your logic and understanding to go deeper into what you are learning. B'Emor, to have awe and to fear your Torah teachers. B'Yira, to fear Hashem, to have Yiras Shamayim. We've seen many times throughout the Masechta that Yiras Shamayim is a prerequisite to having Torah. B'Anova, humility. It's no coincidence the person who delivered the Torah to us, Moshe Rabbeinu, was the most humble of all men. B'Simcha, with joy. You've got to enjoy your learning. Enjoy living a Torah life. If you realize the greatness of Torah, it should automatically make you the happiest guy alive. B'Shimush Chachomim, by serving Chachomim. The Gemara famously says that serving a Talmud Chacham is greater than learning from him, because you learn from how he behaves, and you learn how he applies his learning. Number 11, B'Dikduk Chaverim, being careful with choosing one's friends, B'Pilpul HaTalmidim, and through the conversation of the students. So for example, after you learn something from the teacher, if all the students converse about it, and they discuss it, they go back and forth, then they'll come to the real conclusion and understand their learning far better. Number 13, B'Yishuv. Being settled, having a calm, settled mindset, so that when you open up to the Gemara, your mind's not wandering everywhere, but you're properly applied to what you are learning. Number 14, B'Mikra. Being an expert in Torah Shebichsav, in all 24 books of Tanakh. B'Mishnah. Being an expert in Torah Shebalpeh, in the Oral Torah, the Mishnah, and the Gemara. Number 16, B'Miut Shena. Sleeping just a little. Not to sleep more than you need. Of course, not to sleep less than you need. That can have worse consequences. But not to sleep more than you actually need to. B'miut Sicha, reducing one's conversation, not to talk about non-Torah matters. Number 18, B'miut Tanug, reducing one's physical pleasures. B'miut Sechik, reducing one's laughter. And realize that the Mishnah is not saying all these things are bad. It's saying you need some laughter, you need some enjoyment, but just a little bit of it. Number 20, B'miut Derech Eretz, reducing Derech Eretz, which could mean business, could mean other social activities. 21, but Erech HaPayim, being slow to anger, the Gemara scarily says that when you get angry, it causes you to forget your learning. Number 22, Belev Tov, having a good heart, being pleasant towards others, Be'emunas Chachomim, having faith and trust in Talmid Chachomim, realize that they're on a higher level than you, and so even if you can't understand what their reasoning behind a decision is, you should follow their ruling, because they have deeper insight than you. Number 24, the Kabbalah Sisurim, accepting suffering. When you suffer, realizing it's from Hashem. In fact, the Gemara says that you can only get Torah properly if you go through suffering. The Chazon Ish was once having a big Torah argument with somebody once, and at one point during their argument, he told the other Rav, in this case, I know 100% that I am right, and there's no way that you can be right on this matter. And he said, you know how I'm so sure? Because this learning I did during the hardest time of my life. When I had nothing and I had every excuse in the world not to learn, I still learned and it was difficult. There's no way, I'm 100% sure, there's no way that I got this Torah wrong. So unbelievable, we see the power of Torah learning despite one's suffering. Number 25, Hamakas Makomoi, one who recognizes his place, he knows what he needs to improve on. Vasameach Bechelkoi, one who is happy with his portion. And this refers also to spiritual matters. You've got to realize that every Daf Gemara that you learn is an unbelievable achievement. Only if you have proper joy and appreciation of what one Daf of Gemara is, only then will you be able to learn many more Dafim. Number 27, Va'isa Siag L'Dvarav, one who makes fences for his matters. He puts up barriers to prevent him from doing Averas, or to prevent him from understanding things wrong. Ve'inu Machzik Tov L'Atzmai, he doesn't praise himself for knowing lots of Torah, because he realizes that that's what he's meant to be doing. Ohuv, he is loved by other people. He becomes somebody who people see and look up to. Number 30, Ovis HaMokim, to have a love of Hashem. Remember, you're not just learning a subject when you're learning Torah. You're connecting to the creator of everything. Ovis HaBriyos, you should love Klal Yisrael. We know there are 600,000 letters in Torah corresponding to the 600,000 souls of the Jewish people. And the Belzer Rebbe, as well as Rav Nachman and Breslov, and other Hasidish Gedolim, they write that if somebody doesn't love and respect and look up to a particular Jew, then he'll never be able to understand that Jew's chilek in Torah. The portion of Torah which corresponds to that person, he won't be able to reach and grasp that, which is an unbelievable thing. Every yid literally corresponds to a part of Torah. And if you don't love other Jews, then you're not going to understand the Torah. Simple, yet unbelievable. Okay, continues the Mishnah, Ovisat Tzedokos, you love righteousness. Ovisat Tzedokos, you love rebuke. When people tell you you should be behaving differently, you like that because you're trying to grow. Ovis HaMishorim, you love being straight and upright and truthful and real about yourself. Misrachim and Akovod, you distance yourself from honor, v'lo migzlu v'talmudai. You don't become arrogant about your learning if you understood something quicker than somebody else, for example. You don't get proud of it, v'ein esmeach b'hayra'a. You're not happy when you paskan a halacha. If you need to say the halacha is like this, you should be quite worried. You should be worried that if you got it wrong, then that can have bad consequences for other people. If you bear the burden of your friend, his pain becomes your pain, his need becomes your need. Again, the more you connect with Klal Yisrael, the more your Ben Olam L'Chaveiro rises, the greater you become in Torah. Like we described before, because every part of Torah corresponds to another Yid. You judge others favorably, Ma'amid ala emes. You bring people towards the truth. If you see somebody behaving incorrectly out of ignorance, for example, if he doesn't know the halacha, so you correct him. You've got to care about the Torah, care about halacha. It should bother you when you see the Torah being violated. Ma'amid ala shalom, you bring around peace. You're willing to compromise in an argument. Your heart is settled in your learning. This means that you feel that you're permanently in your learning. That becomes your main focus, your main daily activity. You ask and you answer. You don't just find out information, but you try to actively think of an answer. Think of a question you should be asking. Then you hear from your teacher what he says, and you try to add. You always want more Torah, halomim amanas lelamed. You learn in order to teach the Torah, halomim amanas laaseis. You learn in order to keep the Torah, hamachim es rabbi, one who makes his teacher wise by asking him lots of questions, by getting him to look even deeper into it, and teach you even more, b'machavin es shemuasei, one who gives over his teacher's Torah very precisely, and finally, v'ha'omed dov b'shem amrei, saying Torah, saying words of Torah in the name of the one who said it. Don't make it out as if it's your own Torah idea. Always say, I heard it from him. And holomadot, you've learnt. We see elsewhere, shekol ha'omed dov b'shem amrei, Anybody who says something in the name of somebody else, if you say it in the name of the person who said it, maybe gula la'ilam. You bring redemption to the world. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Vatomer Esther la'melech b'shem Mordechai. Esther told the king Achashverosh in the name of Mordechai. This is talking about when Mordechai discovered the plot to kill the king. So Esther went and told Achashverosh, and she told him that it was Mordechai who did it. He was the one who found out. She didn't make it out as if she found this out. And because of that, Mordechai was the one who was written in the book, and therefore Haman had to give honor to Mordechai, and that got Haman very angry, which ultimately led to his downfall and the victory of the Jewish people. The redemption, so we see from there, that if you say something in the name of the person who said it, you bring redemption to the world. That is the list, the Memches Devarim, as they're known, the 48 ways, work on them one by one, until ultimately you become a massive Talmud Chacham, as a result of these 48 Kinyonim, these 48 ways of acquiring the Torah.